Welcome to Kaput Radio. My name is Martin Jensen, and I'm proud to present a global news commentary with the help of George, who recently returned to Nimbin from his other home in Hawaii. George has been with Kaput Radio a few years ago, and I appreciate his insight into politics, especially US politics, and with the US foreign policies by definition, global politics. The recording was nearly taken over by a local rooster who hangs out in Nimbin free-ranging, but we managed to move him on a little and the recording continued without further disturbances. Welcome to the show. Listeners, I'm here with George. George just returned from Hawaii. And so George was on Kaput Radio before, and I'm appreciative of his viewpoints about American politics and other global events. George, how are you?
I'm feeling wonderful. It's a delight to be back in Nimbin, because even though we were just 2 short years here before immigration told us we were not rich enough, they wanted $4.5 million for us to come up with, and we managed to find 40 cents and $40, but not the sum the immigration wanted. So of all places, we had to go back to America, where we had hoped to have been political refugees out of, and we're back in America, but not quite America. We're living in Hawaii, so in the jungle, a town similar to Nimbin called Pahoa, and we have a perspective of the political and social environments from there and in the bigger picture. The elections have been very important for me, because it's not an ordinary election in the U.S., business as usual.
Because, excuse me for a sec.
Yes.
So, up before the rooster disrupted, we were about the election campaign in the U.S. What are your thoughts about it?
Well, the elections in the U.S. in general are a very apathetic game. Only about 40% of registered people that can vote actually vote. And the political game in America is dominated by about 18 to 20% of the population that actually vote and pick who they want. So far, ever since, I would imagine, since Jimmy Carter, going into the Bush dynasties, and even Bill Clinton, it's been more or less a corporate coup d'etat takeover of both parties. And since that, a lot of people have given up on politics. They just feel that it's not important, it's not vital. Yet with the glooming crises of many sorts all over the world, the economy, the population, and the environment, we have a new person in America that's out of the games. His name is Bernie Sanders. He's been listed as an independent at times, a socialist at other times. This year he calls himself a democratic socialist, because in our virtual two-party system, you can't be a socialist or an independent. So by being a democratic socialist, he's relating to the policies of Franklin Roosevelt, who took America out of the Depression and created social programs such as higher wage, better labor conditions, and created an infrastructure through providing jobs that helped boost America in general. And this is who Bernie Sanders is akin to.
He also wanted to help the students with their indebtedness from loans they had to take up for any educational means.
Right. And what Bernie Sanders, two of his main platform issues are, he wants America to come up to the standard of the rest of the civilized world and provide health insurance that is available for all that are needing to be covered through the government as a social aid, and also free public universities. In America right now, as an example of how bad the health care programs are, my younger daughter, who had to go for she had strep throat really bad. She was traveling. She went to an emergency room of a hospital. A doctor came in, looked at her for about 3 minutes before prescribing an antibiotic, and she received a bill of $1,000 for that visit. She was in tears.
That's highway robbery.
It is highway robbery. Myself, I went in for a hospital visit because of a gut pain. I've avoided hospitals and doctors because of the insurance deal for 40 years, but this one was severe. All day long, I was in the hospital for various tests. Nothing was found. A surgeon came in and said, we could take your gallbladder out, even though we don't know if that's the problem, for tomorrow for about $20,000. And I said, no, thank you. We left. By the way, I had my problem cured with an acupuncturist for about $100. And after that, the hospital sent me a $10,000 bill that we had to negotiate down to a great bargain of $6,000 that we had to pay, or else they would come and take out my gallbladder as collateral.
I just read the U.S. has the third ranking of causes of death is now misdiagnosis in hospitals.
Misdiagnosis is a good business. Yeah. In fact, a CEO of a major pharmaceutical company that I can't remember now was quoted through a video and an interview that he did to his stockholders that the medical system in America, and especially the pharmaceuticals, is not about healing and health, but mostly a business model, how to make the most money out of any situation. Mm. So the repercussions of misdiagnosis means more money to be spent on more drugs and more operations. A horrible situation.
Yeah. So if Bernie Sanders is addressing these things, you should have a lot of people voting for him.
You would imagine that, as I'll outline some of his other programs, he should be winning by a landslide. However, the corporate media has been not distorting his message. They're spreading lies. They're shutting off his speeches. And whatever is fed through Fox News and CNN into the mainstream is causing people to be scared that he's a communist. That's the word out. He's a dirty communist and a threat to the American way of life. On the other hand, the millennials, which refers to people under 30 years old, their polls of support for Bernie Sanders are in the 70% margin. Mm. So at least they see a future that they don't want coming if either Hitlery is, sorry, it was a spill of the tongue, of Hillary, and or the racist, fascist Donald Trump, which they're both horrible alternatives. And I personally believe, as many other people do, that it's a good cop, bad cop show. They're both working.
But they're both working with Wall Street. No?
They're both working for Wall Street. You see pictures of them with their families together socializing. Mm. So the idea is to scare a lot of people that still have IQ in a land of idiocracy that Trump might become president. So quickly vote for Hillary because she's the good one, even though her supporters and her millions of dollars of super PACs, as they're called, the supports, are coming from Monsanto, who's also her campaign director, a lobbyist for Monsanto, for private prisons, for a drug war, for permanent war in Iraq and elsewhere, TPP, which she highly supports. And these are all very bad and gloomy propositions, all of which, by the way, Bernie Sanders is against. And as far as the drug war goes, he says immediate release of all marijuana prisoners from jail with their constitutional rights. And and marijuana should be legalized in all forms, and the government should not have anything to do with it. So that's another specter that we're continuing to struggle with.
And most obvious to me is that we are voting politicians, but what we actually really should be voting for is Google and Apple and big corporations. No, they're not elected. No.
Ironically, in the
U.S. But they are governing us.
Well, the U.S. tax system says that corporations are equivalent to an individual.
Yeah.
So if we take that one step further, we could have a president who is Mr. Monsanto, McDonald's, or any other corporate takeover.
Happy meals from then on.
Yes, they'll pass out happy meals for votes as part of the bribery. One last thing I want to mention about the distortion that Bernie Sanders is getting. The media are putting the idea that he's a pie-in-the-sky communist, that no way his programs of free education and free medical can be supported. However, when you look at how he outlines his programs, $13 trillion are right now currently owed by the top 1% and corporations in America, which are not paying their taxes through the Panama and Cayman Islands schemes. Mm. And he feels, and rightfully so, that if the money that the top 1% or even 5% are getting away and not paying could easily fund the free college and the free health programs, as well as he also wants to shut down the military budget. He doesn't want to support Israel as much as it's been getting. He's tired of the bloodshed in the Middle East, so he's a peace candidate.
Well, while we're venturing out here, let's go to Europe. Europe is suffering a new phase of breakup, the threat of breaking up the union, which they tried to start setting in motion in the last 20 years. It seems like countries like Britain are struggling. And then there is Turkey as a problem state now, holding all the migrants at the moment, which Turkey uses like a leverage to extract money from the EU in order to deal with the migrants situation, which is also actually a misinformed idea, because the migrants are not a problem, really, you know.
I have some personal feelings on that. I'll go back to the cause instead of the symptoms. Who are the migrants? Is it people that just out of the blue decide?
They're fed up from being bombed.
They're
George.
Bombed. Yeah. They're watching their families blow up, their towns blow up. Yeah. They have nothing to eat. They have nothing, no water. They might have a backpack with some belongings. Mm. And if they're lucky enough to pay for a boat to get to one of the Greek island refugee centers and then be sent back, it's a horrible state of affairs, and xenophobia and racism is on the rise through fear promotion. In Europe, I think the idea of the migrants are these terrible terrorists that are coming to their neighborhoods to rape their daughters.
Mm. And steal the blonde women from the
German. Steal the blonde women, the same sort of reefer madness that America had.
Yeah, it's a massive fear campaign, obviously. I just wonder whether it's a distraction from the real economic problems Europe is suffering with a stagnant economy and having no growth, having basically since 2008... The world banks have pumped in something like $50 trillion into the system, and it is still not producing any employment or any improvement in the economic parameter.
It's a totally corrupt system as far as I can see. And when we see Obama coming to England to plead that England, Britain stay in the European Union, we know there's more amiss than meets the eye.
Yeah.
My family and I were personally living in Greece at a time when we saw how that nation fell, like one more domino as Portugal is facing. The Greek economy was barely surviving as it was and had a fairly good social system. But as soon as they were promoted into the EU, there was more corruption than ever in the government. We were in a small village where peasants one day came out of a bus from the bigger city holding credit cards. Mm-hmm. And I said, "What are you holding these credit cards?" And they go, "Well, we're in the EU now, and the German banks have just promised us each 10,000 euros of free money."
With no prospect. It's like the 2008 Lehman collapse in a mirrored way, on a national basis. It's the whole country been held to ransom now. All the airports, the facilities being forfeited for security.
Big investors are buying islands.
Yeah.
The ancient harbor in Athens in Piraeus, which has been for 5,000 years a focal point of much history and commerce, is now owned by China on a 99-year lease. And when I call people in Greece, they cry on the phone. They say they have no medical services. They have no pensions in some cases. And it's just one more symptom of a collapse. And as we see with the American corporate elite, the top money makers are channeling their money through the Panama connection. English politicians are...
But curiously, in Germany, it's been found out Germany is harboring more tax evading money than even the Panama letterbox companies in total. The German tax avoidance is exceeding the so-called tax haven money.
Tax avoidance
It's held in Switzerland.
It's an epidemic.
Yeah.
It's an epidemic of all national proportions. The rich are getting richer.
Yeah.
They're posturing.
Which brings us back to a living wage idea, which was one of those ideas Bernie Sanders was voicing amongst other people. Due to the automation globally, you have somehow people now without an income, and yet the income is necessary to keep up the domestic economies.
I'd like to add a few comments to that. First of all, since I mentioned Obama, Here was a man who America thought would be another Martin Luther King, the great black hope, who would be representing minorities, the labor, the downtrodden. However, he turned out to be another puppet run by the puppeteer corporates. And his latest action that before he leaves his presidency is he's shutting off hundreds of millions of dollars of what we call food stamps, which is similar to the dole, because of wanting to balance more of the budget instead of going after the corporates that aren't paying any taxes. But back to Bernie Sanders, from the start of his campaign 2 years ago, he's been asking for a $15 an hour living wage. Currently, the minimum wage for many people is about $7 an hour, which is what McDonald's and some of those fast food places are paying. And there's no way anybody could survive. You could have two jobs full-time and still be living in low ends of poverty. Bernie has been asking for the $15 raise. The media says it's crazy. He can't do it. And because of the popularity of that notion, Hillary now has come off and saying she'll go for a $12 compromise.
So do you think that's really been recognized as a global problem? Because it's not just in the U.S. the case. The automation of productions is taking place in every country of the OECD, at least. You know,
as long as as people are allowing governments to push in TPPs,
yeah,
and other scams that are taking personal national sovereignty away and putting it into the corporate state, we're going to see more of the same elitist making more money and everybody else starving and creating suicide nets for themselves to jump out of.
So we just need a country like North Korea starting nuclear war, then we're solving the problem, or that's just a bit of a cynical remark.
I have mixed notions of North Korea. Certainly they have bravado and they're sticking their noses up and saying we'll bomb everybody and anybody because we are the top cocks on the block. But with all the superior military presence of America that surrounds just about, America has 132 countries filled with military forces that could pretty much wipe out anybody that launches a missile from anywhere. And to add another notion to that, they're asking for, the Pentagon is asking, in addition to their inflated military budget, another $1 trillion to upgrade more of their nuclear arsenal. And at the same time, the infrastructure in the U.S. for nuclear holding tanks is already leaking. So we have multiple Fukushimas on our coming future.
Wonderful prospect. Thanks so much for the good news.
My pleasure. And I'm seeing here on local news, matches are being thrown into rivers that are igniting. And government officials say they could be from natural causes.
Okay. Have a good laugh, guys. Thank you.
My pleasure to be here, and aloha.
Thank you for listening to Kaput Radio once again. As you may know, the program gets broadcast Thursdays at 12 noon in Nimbin, Australia, Eastern Standard Time, on www.nimfm.org Community Radio. I'd like to thank George and may mention that you can find all my other podcasts by searching with your favorite spyware for Kaput X Radio. Kaput spells with two T's, yes it does, and the podcast directory is self-explanatory, with each podcast having a title and brief description, and a contact button. If you want to tell me what I'm doing wrong or bad, yeah, go on, criticize me. But anyway, I will catch you next time with more Kaput Radio.